Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre. Welcome in. You are indeed listening to Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live on a Thursday night, August the 25th, 2022. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and we're supposed to be joined by guests. I haven't heard from them today, so I'm a little worried, I have to admit. But Jay, you know, if nothing else, we got 2 hours live, and, you know, we can fill some time if we have to.
Yeah, I mean, filling time is not a problem for us. So we find us a void and we will fill it.
It was a wild off season that we talked a lot about, but there's been a few things that have happened in the last month or so as the preseason gets underway. And now we got about a week left of preseason. It's been some events, some extra events that have gone down. Of course, the Deshaun Watson saga finally appears to have met its end. I'm sorry. Am I just a cynical bastard? Which the answer, of course, is yes. Or did they not decide on an 11-game settlement, knowing that that means that Deshaun Watson's return would be at Houston? That's not a coincidence, right?
Yeah, that's cynical. I'm usually the more cynical one of us on the show. I don't understand the purpose. I mean, is that just to rub it into the Texans' face, or
it's just all about popping a huge rating? There's no way you're going to pop a rating for Cleveland versus Houston except for having Deshaun Watson play.
How many people in the stands for that game will stand and cheer if he's carted off the field in that game?
A lot. a large percentage of that stadium would cheer, like Philadelphia cheering Michael Irvin going down at Veterans Stadium.
This would be next level. Or they go down there with Watson and lose that game.
Oof.
To your boy General Mills.
My guy, my MVP candidate. I'm not picking him for MVP. Trust me, I'm just. Hype, getting the hype going and continuing that storyline, the fact that I actually like the guy.
You're the president and sole member of the General Mills fan club. Like, I mean, I had the Josh Freeman fan club going for a few years, and the Jake Kumerow fan club.
Oh, that was definitely your guy.
So so now you could be the General Mills fan club.
The sole proprietor. I've actually seen some things written here and there. About hey, watch out for this guy. He might surprise some people coming up. So I'm not the only one that saw something. So I'm very glad to know, but I'm not alone.
We're 2 weeks away, a little less than 2 weeks away from our season previews. And I just got to say, God, I hope if there's a division that we can gloss through, it's that AFC South.
Yeah. Not a lot going on there.
Try to polish a turd. Talking about that division. But, however, we'll probably spend 45 minutes talking about it because it's just an absolute, dump heap of a division, which are sometimes the more fun ones because, when it's that wide open, very, very, very slim chance that we're kumbaya on that thing.
Say that, and then I think about each team. There's stories about each team. There's something interesting.
Yeah, there's definitely.
We'll see what Jacksonville can they recover after the Urban Meyer fiasco. We'll see what the Titans have in store now that they know what the Dolphins knew all this time, which is don't trust Ryan Tannehill. He's going to break your heart eventually. And Matty Ice to Indy. That's new. That's different.
Right.
Even
no,
that division's got storylines.
There's storylines there, but man, that division's trash.
They should not be favored to win the Super Bowl. Nobody in that division, that's for sure.
Right. And whoever makes the playoffs from that division is getting their Saturday, their first game Saturday for Wild Card Sunday, and can quickly exit.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm disappointed that Renard and Kaz, we were texting and trying to figure out the schedule. Kaz has apparently got a new gig. She drives trucks, and her schedule is very difficult to figure out. So we navigated and negotiated through text, and Thursday at 9 p.m., that was the plan. And he asked me to send him the link to the show, and I sent it to him, and that's the last time I heard from him. And that would be, when was that? This past Monday. So 3 days
ago.
Well,
it ends up really being kind of a wash, because we were going to do a show on Tuesday this week anyways. At least we had talked about it. So we moved it 2 days to accommodate a guest, and the guest couldn't make it, and that probably won't be the first time or the last time in the history of media that a guest is a no-show.
Yeah. I have to admit, it really doesn't happen to us. Pretty much every time somebody says they're going to be there, they've been there for the 10 years. And believe me, I've kept track and thought about it, because I've been so thankful that we haven't had a situation like this where we have we anticipate a guest. We don't have guests that often anyway. But every time we've asked, obviously Dave and Jerry have their spot every single year, and every year they come through.
We've had the commish on a couple of times from our fantasy baseball league. No, it's been a solid run. We've had Tim, the DC correspondent.
Yep, every time we've asked Tim to come on, he's been there. So, as it's, I'm not trying to disparage or put down Renard and Kaz. I'm just a little disappointed that they weren't able to make it when we set up a date. I'm sure something happened or, something came up, and we'll figure that out and get together at some other time and see what happened. And we'll make the space and have them on another show some other time. So
what it does change for me is the headspace now of having to us do a half a show each versus a quarter of a show each, or making space for the randomness of conversations, because you don't really have to prepare for a conversation with those two, because it'll just take its own direction, and being that they have their own show too, we're all very familiar with and good at just bouncing off of each other. So yeah, they'll be missed tonight, but hey, we're still here. We're doing it live.
I was ready to throw like four questions out there and assume that would fill up the 2 hours.
Yeah, or just bring up the Bears. Just talk, at some point I was going to give Renard crap about the Bears. So,
that was definitely one of the questions. So, Justin Fields, what about him? And then the half hour later.
Yeah, the only thing I'm glad, I can't say glad, but the only thing I'm glad that I have to avoid tonight is usually we would get put on the mat as far as our preseason picks. And I don't have to cross that bridge tonight or be diplomatic about things or, try not to give too much away from our next show.
Right. Or just admitting I haven't thought that far ahead. I have no idea what my picks are going to be for the most part.
I am starting to formulate my opinions of teams and things this season. We were at our first preseason game, not mine, but we took the kids to their first game. That was last Friday night up here at Lambeau Field, and the kids have been to a couple of baseball games, and I don't think they were prepared for the enormity of the NFL experience.
It's a lot.
All the pomp and circumstance, even for preseason, because you have to figure this was the only preseason game up here, so they're getting everything ready for the season, so everything was in full effect there. I mean, there was fireworks. We had the flyover from the Coast Guard before the game, and, it's funny because my daughter's sitting next to me, and she was very into the game, so through most of the time I was talking to her about the things that were happening and explaining to her, because we had some real high seats, so we were looking straight down from the end zone, but we were up high. And, oh, my God.
Uh-oh. Oh. I hear giggling.
Oh, she's just, I'm just sitting here in the dark, and I look next to me, and there's a face. Okay, here, I'll let her tell you.
Okay.
Here, I was talking about us going to the game.
Hi.
Hi, Tranny. Don't scare your father like that. He's very sensitive. So how'd you enjoy the game?
I liked it a lot.
What did you like about it?
The seats.
You like the seats? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad was saying the seats were really high up, so you like the really high up seats?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You like that better than if you were down low?
Probably.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. You know, a lot of people prefer, like, down low to be, you know, a little closer to the action, closer to the players. But, you know, you can't see quite as much as you can when you're up high. So I understand why you like it up high.
Uh-huh.
What else did you like? Did you like all the fireworks and stuff?
No. Oh, come on down,
what?
Buddy.
I was saying, he said there was a lot of fireworks and stuff. You liked all of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's telling you about the football. Did you learn something about football?
Uh-huh. I learned that it's super dramatic.
Okay. It can be super dramatic, yeah. But that's good. I'm glad you got to experience that. I've actually never been to an NFL game, so you've been to more than I have. I've been to a college game, but not NFL.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Hello.
Hi. So you went to a football game?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yes.
What did you like about it?
The Packers won.
Oh, okay. Like that the Packers won, okay. What else? You had a lot of noise, a lot of fireworks, a lot of music. You liked all of that?
There was a lot of noise.
Yeah. A lot of noise. And do you like the seats high up, or would you prefer it to be lower to the players?
I like them high up.
Oh, okay. Your sister liked them high up too. That's interesting. Well, I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun. You've been to more NFL games than me now. I've never been to an NFL game, so you got me beat there, buddy. What else have you been doing this summer?
Summer school, playing Monopoly.
I like Monopoly. That's it's a long game, but I like playing it.
Yeah, also playing baseball.
Oh, okay, cool. Yes, that's good. I miss being a kid. I've been working all summer, so I envy you.
Are you going to say goodbye, buddy? Oh, okay.
Say goodbye.
Okay.
Oh, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye, buddy. Good night, buddy. Okay. Love you, buddy. Okay. Oh, good night.
Boy.
Okay. Good night. Well, you can always... Oh, my God. My daughter somehow snuck because I've got the headphones on.
I actually heard her giggle before you noticed her.
Oh, jeez.
I heard the giggles, and then I hear you go, oh, God. So, yeah
all of a sudden
there
there's just a
the
face
show.
Next to me in the light of the computer down here.
Watching Phil Collins in the Mama video just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Why do I remember that? Oh, the things that stick in our memories, my God. Oh, boy. Yeah. I think I bored Grant to death. I think that's why he ran off and
no, he was just sitting there. I could see he was concentrating. He was listening to what you were saying.
He's trying to figure out what I'm talking about.
No, that we had a great time. I was really surprised they made it through the whole game. They didn't want to leave early. They wanted to see it all the way down to the zeros. And that's good because they did better than a lot of the fans at the game.
Right. Well,
you know,
yeah,
it's
can't blame them.
Game, right? It's what you kind of expect. And yeah, it was, they got to see a meaningless Packers win. So that was nice for them. They got to see their team, see the team win.
No, that's what Grant said was his favorite. It's what he liked about it is the Packers won.
Yeah. You know. He's learning early.
Yeah.
But yeah. Great time at the stadium. I don't know if I'm sure you saw. My wife, I'm sure, was posting pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. You guys were all decked out in your gear and
yeah,
look like you're having a great time.
It was a beautiful night, other than maybe about 15 minute rain shower that blew through maybe in the third quarter, and that was when the stands started to clear out. As soon as that rain started falling, everybody was running for the exit.
Okay, we've had some fun, but there's nobody left on the field that we know who they are, and it's about time to go.
It was never more than what I would describe it as a hard drizzle.
Right.
Everybody at a preseason game needs an excuse to leave. But it was fun. Explaining to them the game and watching my daughter, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if, she was having fun because she wasn't into anything. She was just staring intently, and it turned out she was actually watching the game. I was like, oh, okay.
Great.
Where with my son, everything was just, you can't keep him still.
Right.
the way we got him into the game was, every time there was a first down, they make a big deal about it on the scoreboard and in the stadium. So he started doing these more and more elaborate first down dances.
I can see him now in my mind just going crazy and throwing hands and
doing
Fortnite
stuff.
And,
yeah, all kinds of stuff. So that's how he was getting excited and getting into the game.
Yeah, I asked Trini what does she learn about football, and what did she say? It was that it was
very dramatic.
Intense. Oh, yeah.
Dramatic. That was what I was starting to tell the story about, was how everything that would happen during the game, how they set up everything, and you got all the lights and the pomp and everything and the fire and fireworks, and it's all going off, and she's just sitting there. She goes, "This is so dramatic." Why is this so dramatic? And that's the word that the word she kept using. Like, Trini, this is the NFL. This is baseball, right?
Yeah.
This isn't like going to a baseball game, where they got to do this 81 times at their home stadium. This is NFL is, that is a next level production compared to other sports. So they got their taste of that. And that was a preseason game. So it gets more.
Right.
Yeah, no league
that doesn't count.
Yeah, no league is more extra than the NFL.
That's for damn sure.
So they got their taste of that, but they had a great time. They want to go. We'll probably do it again next year. I mean, $15 for tickets.
Oh, that's great. I just assumed that all preseason. Again, I've never been to an NFL game, so I didn't know. Assumed all preseason tickets were the same as regular season tickets. As
they
far as
used
the prices
to be.
Go.
They used to be, but the hard part was selling out. So it's great. You'd get people to go, but the stadium would be mostly empty. So I have to say they announced 71,000. There were not 71,000.
Right.
It was, I'd say, upper 50s. I'd say it was in that 55,000 to 60,000. It wasn't as empty as you'd expect for a preseason game. But if we had a pretty high vantage point up where we were, it was sparse. And then when you look down in the main bowl, it was, I'd say it was about 80% occupied down there. So that's not bad. So it was a lot of noise. The people were able to make a lot of noise, to cheer for the game. Even the people who stayed till the end when it was less than half full were still able to put on, pretty good representation and get pretty loud, because 30,000 people could still get pretty loud.
Oh, sure.
That's a baseball crowd at that point.
Well, I'm a White Sox fan, so no, that's not that's a Wrigley crowd maybe, but not...
Yeah. That's White Sox, that's a homestand.
That's a playoff game maybe if they're lucky.
Hey, they're in the hunt. That division. We're talking about bad divisions. Oh.
Ugh.
That AL Central.
And I'm remembering back to the one White Sox playoff game that I did go to. And I don't know if there was 30,000 there. It may not have been. It was against the Mariners and good old Mike Soroka serving up long balls to Jay Buhner. Not a fun experience. But anyway. Yeah, so and Aaron Rodgers didn't play at all in the game that you went to, right?
No, he's not taken a snap this preseason.
I didn't think so.
And that seems to be more of a trend now.
Yeah.
You know, the established. It was funny because the Packers are playing right now, and they're playing the Chiefs. So when I got in the car, the game had just kicked off when I got off work, so it was on the radio. And all of a sudden, I hear Wayne Larrivee talking about how Patrick Mahomes was out under center. I was like, are they idiots? And no joke, they sent him out there for the first snap, took a delay of game penalty, let the fans cheer him off the field.
From what I was reading on social media, apparently it's some sort of tribute for the departed Lynn Dawson, who we just lost.
Is that what that was?
That's all it was. It was him to go out there to pay tribute to Lynn, and they formed the huddle that Lynn Dawson, I guess, had a famous picture taken forming that the particular huddle formation.
Okay.
And then they take the delay, and then they ran him off the field. So no, to answer your question, no, they're not stupid. They're just paying tribute to a legend.
I did not know, and I wasn't getting that flavor from the Packers booth. So that I don't know if that was made known to everybody.
Old Wayne wasn't aware.
No,
of that,
Wayne. No, Wayne must not have been in the loop on that one.
No.
Yeah, Len Dawson, who without we would not have a name for our show.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking, and you know, the fact that a lot of people don't even would not even realize where it came from if a lot of people listen to our show. But for those of you listening who might actually wonder about the origins of in much less detail, why do we call it that? And indeed, it does stem from Len Dawson on Inside the NFL. The long-running HBO show, which I think it's still running, but it's not on HBO anymore. I think it's on Showtime. But when Lynn Dawson was a host on HBO, they would break down the games, and then the games that weren't necessarily the great highlight games of the week, they would get to those later. And at that point, Lynn Dawson would turn to the camera and go, and now let's get to some other games in more detail. And that's where we get it from, because we're doing games in less detail. We're not breaking down.
Right.
We're looking at one or two vantage points of each game, and we're saying this is what's important, and forget all the rest of the other crap. And I think that's our great strength. That's what we do. We don't get into a whole lot of the minutia, although I get into more of it as the playoffs come, and I start really getting into more stats and, you know, getting as deep into some of these, because then there's specific things that might sway a game that you might not think about. There might be, if you got a playoff game between a team that's the least penalized in the league and a team that's the most penalized, then I think that's something that's worth digging into and bringing up. But you know, still at the heart of our show, I think, is the less detailed. There's a lot less focus on things that, say, if you were, you know, watching ESPN's pregame show or CBS's pregame, Fox, they get into a whole lot of stuff that really, when it boils down to it, doesn't really matter, doesn't do anything as far as the game result, which if you're listening to our show, you're trying to get picks and trying to figure out who's going to win these games and who's going to cover the spreads. And honestly, when you get to that level, the NFL, there's only a few things that are going to sway that. You know, my favorite is to get into is a lot of yards per attempt, yards per pass and stuff like that, because I think that's really at the heart of it. If you got a team, it's such a small margin, but it's the NFL. If you got a team that's averaging 6 yards a play, running and passing, that's pretty damn good. If you got a team that's like the Jaguars are averaging 5, that's not good. And, you know, when you get down to it, teams that can execute over and over again, get that passing average up above 7.5 yards per throw, get that rushing average up above 4.5. You're talking about the difference between third down and 2 and much easier conversion, or third down and 4 or 5 and less likely to convert. And it doesn't seem like a lot of difference, but it makes a difference. It really makes a difference throughout the course of these games and throughout the course of a season. So, I got off on a tangent there. But, yeah, Lynn Dawson, the in more detail, which we turned into in much less detail, that is indeed the genesis for the title of our show. And, we lose one of the inspirations behind In Much Less Detail.
Which is funny, because that was the name of the original blog before we turned it into the podcast version, which was a running joke of us making our picks over, you know, for all the years before we were even putting it to record. So
we were just doing the picks
that way, doing basically this show, picking the games on the phone, just going through everything and, you know, carving out our several hours, it seemed like, each week to make those picks. Because in between, you know, we're going Kings of Non Sequitur and doing
BSing about everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So imagine that show on the radio, you know, where you could go and then all of a sudden it's an hour and we haven't, what game are we talking about?
Where were we? Wait a minute.
I really didn't want to pick that game. Well, that's, yeah. But that was our joke, was, you know, we'd always talk about making the picks in much, much less detail, And, yeah, that all started from us taking a cue from HBO and Len Dawson and that group doing Inside the NFL. And I saw that when he died this week. That's immediately what I thought of.
Yeah, me too. Like, wow, that was the In More Detail guy.
Yeah.
That's where it all started. So
we haven't told that. We've told that story on air, but not in a long time. Maybe not back since even like our first show.
Yeah, if you listen to all the hours of our show, then you've heard us tell that story before. But if you listen to all the hours, you got an issue. You got problems. So.
Yeah, in the hundreds of hours.
Oh my God!
Of this show. If somebody is sitting there right now going, "Oh my God, I've heard this story."
You guys told this story 6 seasons ago in the
in season 1, episode 1, the pilot.
In July 2015, I remember you guys told this story, and I don't like when you repeat things. There might be someone out there like that, for all we know. You never know. And if you're out there, God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Caller J has dropped. Uh-oh. Okay. So I started this day thinking I was going to have a show with 4 people, including myself, and at the moment it's only me, so that's interesting. Oh, there he is.
I clicked the wrong button.
Oh, okay. You're really trying to give me a heart attack. I was trying to get to a different screen that I had up.
Trying to get to a different screen and realized that in my moving of my mouse, I clicked the reload button, the refresh button, instead of the tab that I wanted, and that kicks me off the call.
Luckily, you're able to get back on.
Yeah, well, if it was the after show, I would have been...
That would have been easy.
I would have been gone. He gone.
He gone.
No, I saw today that the NFL's got a little rapey.
You know, it's still the off season. It's not quite the regular season yet, so there's still, you know, guys like to get arrested. Although this is before the NFL, right? This is in college, so it's not quite the NFL's fault.
Okay. So this was pre...
Yeah.
This is a older story, I guess, that's creeping up, because I guess there's a civil lawsuit.
Right.
Talking about how this rookie punter, I guess, for the Bills got a little rapey.
Yep. Off-campus party, and I'm sure booze was involved, which it usually is. And yeah, he's getting him and two other guys are getting sued, apparently.
Okay. You had Aaron Donald today go double helmet, go double Myles Garrett.
Because, you know, flinging one helmet at somebody is Bush League. That's yesterday's news. That's come
right.
on. If you're going to throw helmets at guys, you got to take two now. So the one interesting chord through both of those stories that you brought up is the Bills punter, the punt god, getting sued for rape for something that happened before he got in the league, and Aaron Donald
right.
throwing helmets in a joint practice situation. Is that I don't know if the NFL has the authority to do too much about either one of those. The Donald deal is the NFL apparently doesn't have jurisdiction over joint practices. Like, apparently, from what I'm reading, the Rams are the only people that could do something about what Aaron Donald did, and the Rams aren't going to punish Aaron Donald for throwing some other guy's helmets around. It's not like they're going to sit him down for a game or something
So if Aaron Donald just decided in a joint practice to run across and pick up Joe Burrow, you know,
and javelin throw him.
Yeah, or just do whatever, you know, just pick him up and give him the backbreaker, right?
Right.
Go Charles Martin on him back there. Oh. And do one of those. Are you telling me that everybody like, oh, it's fine. It's a joint practice. Sorry. Oops. So you can go double-fisted helmets, pounding dudes over the head. What else can you get away with in these joint practices?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm with you. I can't imagine Roger Goodell just sitting there watching Aaron Donald put Joe Burrow on the shelf for like the whole season or something with a pile driver and saying, well, it was a joint practice. My hands are tied.
Well, I mean, but still, this isn't good either. This isn't a good look.
No, it's definitely not a good look, but from what I'm reading, it's really going to be something that the Rams and Sean McVay have to look at and say, you know, this is something that we don't do as an organization. We're going to have to take a stand. It's Aaron Donald. They're not going to do anything
right.
to him. It's Aaron Donald. So.
Correct. So, again, we see the application of things. And then this is also a self-policing issue. How dumb is that?
Yeah, well... NFL players self-policing is pretty funny. Just the concept of
it. Yeah, so just that today is two things that just popped up in what has been outside of the Deshaun Watson thing, fairly quiet.
Fairly, I'm looking at Pro Football Talk, and they talk about the Bills punter. His name is Matt Araiza. NFL can't punish Matt Araiza, but in theory, the Bills could cut him, which they're not going to do because for the same reason that the Rams aren't going to punish Aaron Donald, because they're just not going to. You're not going to do that to your guy. That's their guy. That's
right.
their punter. So
that's their punter.
It's their teammate. It's their quarterback.
And it's a civil liability suit. He's not going to jail.
Right.
So,
again, it's just not a good look, just like Aaron Donald. Never a good look
not
to
a pleasant,
sued for gang rape.
Not a pleasant story if you have read any of the details or dug into it at all. I'm not going to regale you with them here, but not pleasant.
I haven't read the details on that, but that reminds me of watching the episode of HBO Real Sports in which they got a couple of the women accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct, and they got them to go into detail, and those details are very icky as well, even more so than I thought. Like, I was really looking forward to talking to Renard and Cass about that, because, man, like, my man's got even more issues than I thought. Like, he was asking for pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And up to and including like digital manipulation of himself. Like, he wanted he didn't just want the vagina in the mouth. He wanted some fingers inside himself as well. Like,
oh,
dude.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He wanted everything.
Well, I've solved Deshaun Watson's problems.
Oh, okay.
I know exactly where he can go from now on for a massage, and he can get away with whatever he wants.
All right. Where would that be?
Joint practice.
He can do anything he wants, right?
Yeah. Set him up. Set him. Oh, hey, what's going on over there at the 20-yard line? That's just Deshaun. Don't pay any attention to that.
It's a joint practice. We can't do anything about it. We can't police it. Just let it go.
If you get too close to him, we're going to hit you over the head with a helmet.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's what it seems like when they talk about, well, it's a joint practice. We can't do anything about it. Like, really?
Mm-hmm. Really? Well, okay.
Yeah, those guys, you asked me to get the drops. So those guys, Joe Namath has something to say about them for sure.
Struggling.
They're all very much struggling.
Oh, man. So have you watched any preseason?
Just bits and pieces here and there. Very, very little. I usually watch none. I think I've watched more this preseason than before. But when I say more, I think like 6 or 8 plays.
Right. You know, no, I watched the whole game because I was there.
Because you were there.
I was there. But I will say, because it was mostly the Jordan Love show.
Yeah,
definitely an improvement from the guy that we saw in Kansas City last year.
Oh, good.
You know, there were a few throws he made. I was like, it was kind of a head scratcher, you know.
Yeah.
But aside from that, really, you know, looked sharp. So made some nice throws. Had some nice scrambles. Got out of some trouble. Had a couple of throws that were dropped. But overall, you know, he didn't look to be wilting in the moment, and also the Saints weren't zero blitzing him on every play.
that's a big key to it. When you have a struggling right. quarterback, if he's not getting too pressured, then he can certainly look a lot better than he had before.
But not bad. Not bad. I mean, obviously, it's preseason. You don't put any stock or into it. But those are things you're looking for, right? You know, you want to go, oh, does this guy look, you know, completely lost? And he played 3 full quarters.
Okay.
You know, had a touchdown throw. The backup to him, who I don't know who it is, some guy named Etling or Elting or something. All I know is this kid, they get to midfield, and he does the handoff up the middle. Everybody in the stadium is watching the running back. And then all of a sudden you start hearing cheering and realize that the quarterback still had the ball and was streaking up the sideline. That's how good the fake was.
Oh, okay.
He faked out the TV. So when I saw the replay on TV, he faked out the TV. They had no idea until they saw him running off to the side with the ball. The in-the-stadium replay, right?
Yeah.
He faked them out, too. So that was a nice moment for him, and that was coming right towards us because that was right down towards the end zone where we were sitting. And kid's got some wheels. Obviously, he's a practice squad player. There's no major bright future there. But for his bright, shining moment in the fourth quarter of a meaningless preseason game, he made a nice play. So good on you. Whatever your name was.
Random Edling guy.
Yeah.
None of y'all ever seen a college option play before? What the hell? Like all y'all?
It was
really
very well executed. That's all I will say. That was a excellent fake. That the ball fake that he pulled off on that play. Cause his throws were terrible, but that play looked great.
The actual throwing that the quarterback was asked to do was terrible.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
His other stuff is pretty good.
His name was
That's also the type of thing you
Danny
don't try to
Etling.
Do against, like,
Danny Etling. So there you go.
That's
probably
something you
the
don't...
only time will ever hear his name on this show.
That's something you don't try to do against, like, Aaron Donald and the Rams' first-team defense, but
right.
Fourth quarter of an exhibition game, yeah, go for it, kid. See what you got.
Yeah, and, you know, because I know your primary concern is about the Packers'
weapons,
wide receivers.
Or lack thereof,
right.
Yes.
What are they going to do at that position?
Yes.
And the only guy who really stood out was this Romeo Dobbs or whatever, however you want to say his last name.
Yeah.
Really, really looked good in that game.
Okay.
I guess he's a fourth round pick, but there's a guy I'm sure, as I didn't manage to make it into the fantasy league, but there's a guy.
Got filled up on
it. That's
that
okay.
Guy.
There's a guy. Watch him on. I'm sure he's undrafted.
Right.
Watch him on your waiver wire.
I'll look out for Romeo Dobbs.
Romeo Dobbs. Fourth round pick from Nevada.
Look, I didn't say that there would be nobody making any catches or any plays for the Packers this year. All my point is it takes a lot to gain the confidence of that weirdo quarterback of yours. And the fact that you had one guy there, Davante Adams, who had his confidence and worked hard and ascended to be in the conversation for best damn receiver in the league, and now he's just gone. Let's poof, disappeared. If somebody comes along in this season and develops into the guy that has anywhere near that kind of rapport with Aaron Rodgers, that's great. That's wonderful. And the Packers should be absolutely overjoyed and thrilled that that's going to happen. I don't see it happening, but that's just me. Again, I'm a Bears fan. Take everything I say with a grain of salt. And we're both breaking into a little bit of season preview action here, but I just don't. But it's nothing I haven't said. I've been very consistent and confident in saying that that was the one guy that he trusted, and they're going to win 9 games this year because it's just not going to be the same, and it's going to be a precipitous fall for the former MVP. Not very long ago, Aaron Rodgers was a league MVP. I do not see him coming anywhere close to league MVP for the foreseeable future.
Okay. You're on the record.
But again, I'm a Bears fan.
Yeah, you had cursed him out of town.
Justin Fields is also not coming anywhere near an MVP award. Just to be balanced and just to be fair and balanced. It's not like I'm saying the Bears are going to do anything great.
Well, I don't want to take anything away, but if you're saying 9-8 is in the cards for the Packers, that sounds like a division that's in play for you.
You know what? I'm going on all the way into our preview, and I haven't.
You don't have to go all the way. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, but I haven't decided anything yet as far as that division. But I'll just say, I'm intrigued by the Vikings getting that new refresh, getting some new blood in there. I was a fan of Mike Zimmer, but that had run its course, and then he decided to move on. And now you get McDaniel in there, and it's some new blood, it's some new thinking, and maybe that's what they need. That's something that time will tell. Everyone will have their predictions about it. I'll figure out what I want to do. I'm considering taking the Vikings number one in that division. I haven't decided
okay.
yet.
Oh, not the Lions. Although the Lions will be better this year.
Yeah, they should. And they were awesome in covering all those spreads last year.
No, and that's the stat that I saw not that long ago, maybe a month or so ago, about the Lions was apparently there's some track record, and I didn't dig too deep into it. It was nowhere even close to like football season when I saw this stat, so keep that in mind, but something to do about the how teams who lose as many close games as they lost, that those start turning into wins,
Okay.
And apparently they had more single score losses last year than any other team, which makes sense because they were covering spreads. They were a machine for a bad team, a team that could not win games the way that they were covering. They were an auto cover there for a while.
They were. Now, I understand that stat because when I think about teams, I can't really put my finger on a specific one, but yeah, teams that lose a lot of close games are usually teams that have like a really young core developing and trying to figure out how to win games and then come back the next year. All right, we figured it out. We licked our wounds and we got our lumps, and now we're going to put it all together. What gives me pause about declaring the Lions the type of team to do that is they're still going to be led by Jared Goff.
Yeah, there's still the Lions. Lions going to Lion.
Well, and even the young guys that they bring on might grow up and be really good Lions and maybe take that step. But the leader after all of that, after all is said and done, is still Jared Goff. I still refuse to trust and believe that Jared Goff is going to be the guiding force to lead a team, you know, beyond their means and make a playoff run. He's still Jared Goff. He's still one of the most maddeningly inconsistent guys that I ever saw. He had such great games with the Rams and followed that up with games that would just like be the absolute worst. Like, what are you doing out there? And drove Sean McVay crazy. They had to get rid of him after he made a Super Bowl with him. So yeah, that guy is, unless he, you know, maybe he makes the turn and develops into a much more consistent quarterback. But until that happens, no, I can't trust the Lions to do anything.
No, I just trust them that they'll win more than like two games.
Right. That's a very low bar there. Yeah,
wasn't that what they won last year?
That. No, they had to win more than two, didn't they? I know they, because they were like way over 500 covering, so they had to have won. Yeah, it might only have been three, but they were definitely over 500 against the spread. That's for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Hang on here, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
they won three.
Three whole games.
They won three. Three out of their last six.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they had started 0-whatever. 0-10, something like that. 0-0. But they covered most of those games.
I take that back. 0-10-1.
Oh.
Because they had that tie against Pittsburgh.
Yes. That Steelers game. Ooh.
Yeah.
So that was, speaking of the Steelers, reminds me of that was something else I was going to bring up with Renard and Kaz, was just the Steelers make me think of how much change and how many different things going into the season that are different than from last year. The Steelers being one of them, we're so used to starting with Ben Roethlisberger and going from there, and he's not there anymore. Obviously, all the wide receiver movements from, you know, not just any wide receiver, like teams' number one wide receivers moving around, multiple teams moving their top wide receivers. Used to Atlanta starting with Matty Ice at quarterback. That's not going to happen. So there's this year, I was saving this little bit of spiel for our preview, but I'm already making excuses. I have no confidence in any of my predictions for this year. There's so much, so many things are different. So many guys are not where they're supposed to be. And it's just, how do you know? How do you know Tyreek Hill is going to gel at all with Tua in Miami? We can all speculate that he won't.
I tell you what, I'm
but
selling.
How do you know?
I'll tell you how I know. I am selling on every single one of these receivers that leaves Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
It doesn't work. When you have, I mean, unless you are just transcendent, and we don't know, maybe Tyreek Hill is. Maybe he will have it with Tua, you know, or whoever is quarterback in that Miami team. Any given
Vontae
week.
Adams, I have, I'm afraid of him being transcendent. Scares me.
It's possible, but you know, I had a front row seat to watching his whole career up here, And Davante Adams was always that guy who dropped the easy balls and then made the spectacular catches.
Ooh, okay.
And until once he shook that, and he sort of became, you know, the guy, and then it became, you know, he was like the superior route runner. He had Aaron Rodgers, one of the GOATs, throwing him the football.
And you're saying Derek Carr is not one of the GOATs?
Derek Carr, to this point, has not shown me that he is one of the GOATs.
Okay.
I tend to look more at the receivers that can that have shown me that they can do it with multiple quarterbacks and produce everywhere they go, and with bums. And there's really only two guys that jump to my mind. Stephon Diggs, right?
Yeah.
Because he produced no matter who was throwing him the football, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
That's the list.
That's it? That's the list?
That's the list. So until those guys like Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown or any of these guys can go to another city, you know, although A.J. Brown is probably already on that list with the other two that I talked about on the good list because he was doing it with Ryan Tannehill.
Right. Like he was just making Tannehill look great every week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. How much of A.J. Brown was 8-yard catch and then pinball off of guys for 40 more yards?
Right.
You know, or catch the ball at the 10-yard line and then just abuse people on his way to the end zone just on sheer will. I saw enough of those plays.
No, I'm with you. All the Titans football that I watched, there was a lot of A.J. Brown taking some Tannehill throws that maybe weren't the best and making them look great because he just had that catch radius and just sucked everything that was anywhere near him in. So, that's what I'm afraid of. There's no way for any of us to know for sure how A.J. Brown's going to play out in Philadelphia. Is there a chance that he similarly takes some terrible throws from the Eagles quarterback that I don't really respect very much?
Jalen Hurts?
That hasn't shown me very much in his time up there throwing the football and makes him a much better quarterback. It's possible. But how do we know? How does anyone really know? Is it possible that Tyreek Hill makes Tua into this unbelievable great? Yeah, you know, and there's the coaching changes that go along with that as well. That I've been reading that maybe this is the what makes Tua to Tyreek and Tua to everybody else so much better this year is maybe a new coaching scheme comes in and really emphasizing the West Coast and the short passing and not trying to have him, you know, heave it 40 yards downfield, which he clearly can't do.
Yeah, that's not his game.
No. So maybe that's the key as well, is all these new coaches and new schemes and whatnot. So there's a lot new. There's a lot of new going on, and I don't feel good about predicting any of it. So I'm already making excuses for my predictions.
I like that. That's good. That's good. You're already in your head.
No, you should like it when I'm overconfident and I think that I got everything figured out. That never works out for me.
That's true. That's true. And you've got your book of stats and you're just like, this is what's going to happen.
I'm going to start
picking games 3 weeks ahead of time.
I don't feel that. I don't feel that confidence at all right now. What I am already looking at is the Tuomi and the Buccaneers O-line situation, which looks like it's turning toxic. Like everybody is getting hurt, and before that, everybody was retiring and everybody was leaving for different teams. So that looks like that's going to be a problem.
And
is
Tommy's heart in it?
It sure doesn't seem like it, does it? Like, hey, guys, yeah, I know we're in the middle of training camp. I'm going over here for a week and a half. I'll see you later. What? Okay. Yeah, Kelly retires in the offseason.
Right.
2.5 minutes later, he said, you know what? I'm back. I'm not retired anymore. So obviously you can question all years, does he really want to be here? Does he? What's his motivation? Why is he doing this? And is his heart really in it? So, yeah, it's fair to ask. But it's going to be even more frightening when that O-line starts breaking down and he starts getting popped and busted in the fucking mouth, because as we've been saying for years, that's how you beat Tom Brady. Bust him in the fucking mouth. And if his O-line is a problem, yeah. Yeah, they know. They know. And they've been busting Tampa Bay since he got there. So even before the O-line problems. So they're going to have some more fun with him this year, it looks like. That's got me really worried for Tampa, is the O-line issues, the frustration that he has when he gets popped around a little bit, because he can go off to a beach somewhere sometimes mentally. Like, he gets hit enough times in a game, and he's just, like, mentally gone. Like, he's yelling at guys and throwing the tablets on the ground.
He gets a little red-ass, doesn't he?
Oh, definitely. Definitely crimson. Definitely crimson rear end with that guy. So I'm worried about that. I'm worried about the Cowboys and Tyron Smith tearing his hamstring off the bone.
I saw that.
So that's another team and another quarterback that if they don't have the protection in the O-line, oh boy, it can get ugly. They're already having a running back issues. I think Zeke is kind of like done, like his effectiveness, his best years. I think that's over. I don't know if they want to admit that yet. I know he doesn't want to admit that, but we've seen that over the years so many times at that position, particularly running back, just bangs himself against everybody for 3-4 years and then it just stops. Like, the body just doesn't have it anymore, and then you never know when it's going to happen, but I think it's happened to Zeke, and I don't know if they're ready to say that. I don't know if Tony Pollard is necessarily the answer to that. Everyone's been yelling like he's the guy that needs to take over. Oh, we got to get Tony Pollard. He's Tony Pollard. I mean, but that worries me as well. Is Dallas is so much different. Almost any team that has offensive line issues, I think that's the team that gets affected the most. Like,
right.
when their line is good, their running is good, and Dak can have time to sit back there and do whatever he wants. But when the line isn't good and the running doesn't have the lanes that they need to have, and then now Dak's in 3rd and 9, 3rd and 12, stuff like that, totally different quarterback, totally different scenario. So I'm worried about them, and I'm worried about the Buccaneers as well. So that's been my takeaway from preseason, pretty much, is looking at the teams that have early injuries already, and those are the ones that stand out the most is on the offensive line for Dallas and Tampa.
Yeah, and Tony Pollard reminds me of, and you'll have to help me out here because I can't remember the guy's name, but he was the Pittsburgh running back who was great as the number two. But then when they actually gave him the job, this was with the Le'Veon Bell thing.
And, you're talking about Baby Terminator?
Yeah, Baby Terminator. But as soon as it was his job, he was crap.
Yeah.
And that's what Tony Pollard reminds me of. Like, he's the guy who knows he's playing with house money because he's technically, quote-unquote, the two. And if all of a sudden Zeke was just gone and now that's his job and everybody's focused on just stopping him, I don't know if he's as effective.
No, I'm with you. Tony Pollard for 23 carries in a game, I don't think that'd be very effective.
Yeah, James Conner. That's who I was thinking of. Baby Terminator. That's the and he moved on. Where did he went to? What, Arizona?
Arizona, I believe.
He wasn't very good.
Right, he had his flashes, but he's a guy.
He's a goal line back is basically what I think of him as. I don't think of him as a workhorse back or an every down back. I think of him as a, and that's an offense that you probably don't need one. And they use they were using Chase Edmonds a lot, but no, James Conner seemed like the goal line. He was the vulture back, who'd come in when it was at the goal line or, a couple of yards away from the goal line and you needed a guy to get you those few extra yards and fall forward for you because he can bruise it a little bit. Remember how amazing he was? Well, Le'Veon Bell wasn't so sure if he was – and then once it was like, nope, it's done, and then he went to crap.
all of a sudden went from 4.5 yards a carry to like 3. It's like, whoa, yeah, what happened
like,
to you?
Oh, here you go, kid. Job's all yours. And he just melted.
Yeah.
So that was the situation. That's what I think of when I think of this Tony Pollard Zeke thing. Like, Tony Pollard's fine as long as the threat of Zeke is there. But now if teams don't have to worry about him at all, and all they have to focus on is Tony Pollard, and now he's carrying more and he's getting tired, you know, not as easy.
No, I'm with him. So what else have we, are we getting ready to witness here in this upcoming season? Cause I'm just, I'm my confidence is really low as far
well,
as
you got all the, upcoming. You got all the big wide receivers that changed. You got all the quarterbacks that changed address, right? You got Matt Ryan left, Russell Wilson. You got guys who got put, apparently Jimmy G's out of a job. So that's going to be Trey Lance, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's another big question mark.
We're going to have the Browns are going to be without Deshaun Watson for 11 games. See what they do. I guess it's going to be Jake Brisket.
Yeah. More Jack Brisket. Let's go.
Okay. So what if Jack Brisket's 8-3?
Stefanski'll have a decision to make, won't he?
No, there's no decision to make. $450 million made the decision.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that.
He's going to get the Jake Plummer treatment.
You're the man no matter what.
But Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland's got a good roster. They're not losing every game without Deshaun Watson.
They shouldn't. Things always seem to go the wrong way for them eventually.
They do. They see no team has more bad luck, I would say, than Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. So then Baker moves on from there to go to Carolina. That was just funny because as we discussed before that he's going where they already decided that they need to pick up a guy from that same draft, and make him the man and Sam Darnold, and then now Baker's like, oh, let's get him too, let's get them both in here. They're kind of financially committed to both of them. Only one can start, of course. It looks like Baker has quote unquote won the job. But that's another mess right there. That could be 8-9, 9-8. Who knows what's going to happen? Darnold eventually play?
Yeah, and that's the South. That's a messy division too. Again, you talk about you don't know what to expect. We don't know what the Saints are going to be, right? Sean Payton's gone. Like apparently that's Wild Things Act now.
Yeah, Jameis all healed up.
Yeah. So we'll see. And he was, boy, what was last year when he was healthy? Boy, he was so up and down. And it was, and
he's Jameis. That's what he does.
He'd have these great games, but then there were games where he was just a ghost or they were hiding him or something. And I'm not sure that Sean Payton necessarily had the confidence in him.
Yeah, nor should he have. I mean, you can give him a shot. But you know,
right.
I think that he's going to replace Drew Brees necessarily is that's a little out there. But he's still got the job. He's going to get another shot, and that's another one that you don't quite know what's going to happen because he's so inconsistent. So that's almost a known unknown, if that makes sense. Like at least that I know that it's going to be a crapshoot because it's Jameis Winston and he can have 5 touchdowns 1 week and 140 yards throwing the next.
And that's exactly what he was doing.
Yes. Oh, that was Jameis for you. So then Atlanta getting rid of Matty Ice, and now they move on to – they're going to have Marcus Mariota as their full-time starter.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota is, I think, keeping the bench in the seat warm for Desmond Ridder, who's had a very good preseason.
And one of those guys got hurt. One of those hot shot quarterback draft picks already is out for the year. And
oh, no.
Ridder might be the guy. I'm trying to remember. I just saw it a couple of days ago, but one of those rookies already hurt himself.
That might be. I did not see that. None of the stuff I'm seeing injuries wise has him hurt.
Okay. Maybe he's one of the other rookie quarterbacks, but yeah, somebody hurt himself already and is out for the year.
Ooh, that's not good. Yeah, no, it wasn't Desmond Ridder. I'm looking at the Falcons injury report. But I don't know what to expect out of that. Then I think they're going to be bad.
I don't either.
I think they're going to be bad. I think they have fun bad potential this year. Because that offense is wild by my estimation. Because that's a team that can outrun the football at all to save their lives, but has a wide receiver at running back and two running quarterbacks. So you figure it out.
And
we talked about this with the draft. They will definitely have the biggest, rangiest, catch radius team, I think, in the league. Because I think all of their guys are like 6'5".
Right.
So that there's going to be a lot of jump balls with that.
Panthers third round pick Matt Corral suffered a Lisfranc injury and his season is already over.
Oh, no. Okay.
So it's going to be Baker and Darnold for the foreseeable future.
And
so,
I would not be shocked if one of them, if they split those starts right down the middle, if they end up where Baker gets maybe 9 and Darnold gets 8. Because, you know, Baker's always an injury risk, it seems like. He's always got something going on where he's hurt or trying to play through an injury. And then they've got Darnold. So I think the hook is going to be so quick with those two. And that's what we talked about when they traded for Baker. If you got two quarterbacks, you don't have any.
You don't have any. Although if Baker's back isn't broken anymore and he's actually somewhat healthy, you should be able to outplay Sam Darnold pretty easily because that's Sam Darnold, dude.
Yeah, well, wasn't Sam Darnold like MVP after 3 weeks last year?
3-0. Jets are going all the way, baby.
They have to, first of all, Baker has to be named the starter just because that first game is Cleveland.
Yes.
I don't care how good or bad he plays or Sam Darnold plays in the preseason. If you are doing right by him, you are giving him the start against his old team that sold him up the river, right?
Yes, definitely. Darnold was with the Panthers last year. He was making Lou the Jets fan angry because he started 3-0.
Yeah.
Oh, they let Darnold go. He's
yeah.
How can they do that? He's Panthers playing great
first,
now.
The Panthers' first game is against the Browns. You got to give Baker that game.
Yeah, am I being cynical again? Panthers' first game is against the Browns. Really, really?
Well,
come on.
The schedule came out before that happened.
Before Baker went to Carolina.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll put my conspiracy theory hat away.
You are Mr. Tinfoil Hat tonight, but...
I'll put it away.
Okay, for this one, you can put it away. Now, the other one with Deshaun Watson and his first
11.
Game back
we'll pick a number out of the thin air. Let's settle on 11 games. And it'll happen
that's
to come
11,
back at you.
That's 11 games of... That's asking him to behave himself for 3 months.
No, it isn't, because even if he fucks up again, they're not going to do anything to him. Over. They went through the initial suspension. They put the appeal forth, and they had this judge waiting in the background that refused to make a ruling on the appeal until they could settle it, because this whole thing was basically a setup and a script anyway. He was just sitting there, you know, with his arms crossed and tapping his foot like, okay, guys, you guys can get this settlement done anytime you want. I'm not going to make a ruling. I'm not looking. I'm looking over here. Like, that whole thing was a damn Law and Order script. And finally, they decided on 11 games. You know, obviously, Watson thought he didn't do anything wrong. He wanted, like, almost nothing. So to get him to agree to 11 means that they were basically looking at him and saying, look, if you don't agree to this, we're going to really put our foot down and take you out for the whole year and maybe more going forward. I'm sure they've had to threaten him with something severe for him to agree finally with 11, and maybe even playing that up and saying, hey, if we go 11, you can come back against Houston and stick it to them. Maybe that motivated him or something. I don't know. But that whole thing was just, I didn't like the original ruling, for six with the lady, making that decision, because, like I said on our last show, she wrote it up to where she was excoriating him and making it seem like he was the worst guy in the world, and then she comes with six games at the end of all that, and it's like, how did you arrive on six games when you're calling him just, the worst guy and this, that, and the other? Like, that didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, no, that made zero sense. I didn't understand that one bit where they looked at all that. Obviously, they weren't looking at anything to do with, precedent or anything.
No, clearly.
And the NFL is so, ripe for this because, my God, there's just so many instances of this. So that's one to me that made no sense when they looked at that, where the NFL, where it's literally nothing but crime and punishment.
Yeah.
And it's 6 months.
Six games, yeah.
The
whole thing seems like a script. The whole thing is right off of NBC. Just making good TV, keeping themselves in the news, spreading this thing out, pushing it. I'm getting my tinfoil hat back. I said I was going to put it away, and I'm putting it back on. The NFL loves publicity. They love keeping themselves in the news, in the news cycle, whether it's good news, bad news, whatever. They love the publicity. They love stringing stuff like this along for as long as they can. I don't know why you didn't have this settled before it got to training camp. This thing has been in the news with Deshaun Watson for a long time now. And the fact that you're just now getting around to punishing him, that is crazy to me. They could have had this settled a long time ago, but they didn't want to because, I tell you, they like the publicity.
Yeah, I, although waiting until so close to the season, I don't think was tactically very smart to do, because now you're taking away, hype from your sport, and you're putting the story onto something that you really don't want people to be talking about.
Well, or do you? Or no, do you maybe? Like the publicity that much? I don't know.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
Not to some people, but, think about the NFL, you think about like WWE and Vince McMahon, they start having all these, sexual lawsuits against Vince McMahon. And what's his response? He's going to go out every Monday night in front of the live crowd and start becoming this hype man and saying, hey, I'm here, everybody. Look at me. I'm Vince McMahon. And I'm here to say, hey, we're going to have a great show tonight. And thanks for coming. Like he wasn't doing that at all. He's an old man. He wasn't coming out. But then all these lawsuits get revealed, and he decides, hey, this is a good time for me to start making appearances in front of the live crowd and acting like I'm just this sweet old guy that wants to see the people and say hey to everybody. Yeah. Again, no publicity is bad publicity when it comes to people like that.
He's doing that?
He was.
Wow.
When it first got announced, he was making surprise if they would start playing his theme music and no chance in hell. And people would go crazy and pop. And that's all he was doing was getting a pop. And he wasn't saying anything either. He wasn't talking about the cases. You would just walk out and get the pop. And then he would say, welcome to Monday Night Raw. Good to see all you people here. And we're going to have a great show tonight. That type of thing. Just basically being a hype man. Just to get that rub, just to get that publicity and get people talking about, oh, did you see Vince McMahon was on Raw and after everything that happened? And then finally the big boom gets dropped where Wall Street Journal reports that he was actually taking that money to make these settlements out of his personal and not reporting it. And as a result, WWE being a publicly traded company, all their records were false because there was all this money that wasn't being accounted for because he wasn't reporting it because he was making all these settlements on the side out of his own pocket. And that's what basically was the downfall. It wasn't what he was doing, because he's a man. He can do anything he wants, because that's our culture, unfortunately. But it was the fact that he was messing with the money of the publicly traded company. That's what made him basically have to step down. So finally, whatever happened, whatever, you know, made it happen, it's finally happened. He's out. He retired. And I think it's permanent. I don't think he's going to. It's pro wrestling, so he might come up and, hey, look at, I'm back again. Watch out. I certainly hope he doesn't do that, but no, it appears it's finally over with. So, yeah, it's been a bit of crazy summer in wrestling. If you I know you don't follow it that closely, but it's
I've heard some of it. Most of it I've picked up from you.
Yeah, it's been wild. we will not forget, wrestling fans will not forget 2022, because it's the year Vince McMahon finally went down. And then on the other side, in All Elite Wrestling, that seems to be, they have a lot of issues over there as well. It's a lot of infighting. There's a lot of guys that don't like each other, that are going out and cutting promos when they get a live microphone that they weren't supposed to be cutting, you know, kind of going into business for themselves, that type of thing. And there's also been some tampering charges that WWE, when they finally got rid of Vince McMahon and Triple H is running things, Triple H now is in charge of everything, that apparently they've been calling some of the AEW guys and saying, hey, the old man's gone, you can come back home now, except no, they're under contract to the AEW. You really can't do that. But I don't think the guys are turning their ears away. I think some of them are listening and trying to figure out ways can they get out of these contracts and make their way back home now that the old man is definitely gone. So it's a lot. There's been a lot going on. It's like the NFL. It's just every time you turn around, there's a lot happening. There's something else happening. You got to kind of keep your head on a swivel at all times. I tell you what. NFL and WWE has been a very welcome diversion when I go through Twitter and scrolling social media from the doom scrolling. At least they saved me from the doom scrolling of everything else that's going on in the world and in our country with some of the silliness that's happening in football and wrestling. So I thank them for that, at least.
That's good. That's good.
So what else are we... filling time talking about? We've gotten through an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. I honestly, any point here, I'm good. So like I said, I was not expecting to have to do a ton of talking tonight.
I'm with you. Same here. I was, like I said, I had like three or four questions ready for Renard and Cass,
yeah.
And I was going to let them take it
from
there. I
figured we'd have, and I didn't realize you said it for 2 hours live. So I figured it'd be an hour.
Yeah.
With them, and then an hour, or you know what I mean, where you do. But
no, exactly.
We go long with them, so that I understand, because I think the last time we had them on, it went well into the after show.
That's exactly why I did it. I'm pretty sure the last time they were on, I'd set it for an hour live, and then 2 hours later, we're still going, and I'm like, we're about to get kicked off of this thing. So
no,
that's why
yeah.
I set it for 2 hours live.
But no, I'm at any point here. Because, like I said, I don't really have a whole lot right now. This was going to be that last fill-in show to kind of go over some things before we actually get into our season. So I can call it. You can call it anytime you like.
I think that's what's about to happen. I think I'm pretty much out of stuff as well. The baseball season's been weird.
Yeah, that's up and down. I think that's the only way to describe it. I was joking because you know, your White Sox are still in it.
Barely. Like, I don't think it's because of anything they're doing. I think it's just because the rest of the competition is so mediocre. You know, Tony Russo's doing his best to screw it up, but they're hanging around anyway.
I'm trying to cling to a money position in our fantasy league. I didn't know if you realized that we had moved all the way up to fourth.
No, every time we talk, you say that we've moved up even more than I thought we had before. So
yeah. So we are right now, as to the minute right now, we are sitting in fourth place, 11 points ahead of fifth place.
Oh, okay.
So we made quite the jump. It's amazing what happens when your pitchers – today the pitchers are getting killed, but it's amazing what happens when your pitchers actually start winning games and your stats improve and you start getting a lot of home runs. Wow, this is what it was supposed to be all year, which is funny because for the first time in 20-plus years of being in this league, I made no trades.
Huh.
I looked at the team – and my assessment at the trade deadline was, I don't need to trade for better players because my guys are actually starting to play better. So in my mind, I was really just trading the bad versions of those players for better versions.
I believe they call that betting on yourself.
I was betting on myself, and it was funny because I had teams calling on me back in June when we were sitting in 9th, 10th place because they wanted me to dump players, and I just kept having that weird feeling like, I know this team is better than this. I know this, and it's working out.
That's good. I'm
so
glad
far
to hear that.
It's working out, and pitching has held. Tonight it didn't hold. Tonight our guys did not do good pitching, but I don't know if you've seen George Kirby, what he's been doing.
I watched him live yesterday. I was sitting at home.
He set the major league record.
Yes, I saw that display of refusing to throw outside the strike zone. I was like, wow. we talk about guys who like to pound the strike. He really likes to pound
and
the
strike
zone.
And that's what he's known for. So
yeah,
that's why he got the call-up.
He is allergic to walking people. He doesn't do it. He doesn't want to throw any balls. The record that he set was, as far as known recordings of pitches and strikes and balls, however far back that goes, George Kirby of the Mariners yesterday threw the first 26, I believe, pitches of the game were strikes.
Yeah.
And that would be a record as far as anyone knows. Like one of the pitches was out of the zone and got swung at, and all the others were in the zone. But yeah, if it's swung at, it's a strike.
Somebody on Twitter posted George Kirby just threw his first ball of the game. It's the third inning.
Yeah. Yep, I was watching it.
So it's funny because our first two picks in our minor league draft or our ultra draft of the reserve guys, our first two picks were George Kirby and Johnny Cueto.
Thanks.
It worked out.
Yes. Cueto specifically because I didn't pick him up in my fantasy league, so you can thank me for that. If I had, he would not be doing as well as he had.
He doesn't strike anybody out anymore, but
no.
he has become he's the definition of just crafty veteran now, isn't he?
Right. If he was a lefty, he would definitely be a crafty lefty.
He'd be a crafty lefty. So when you're a righty, though, what do they call you?
Junk.
Junk baller.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Johnny Cueto. He's junk balling. But it's been working, so.
He should 800 different variations of his motion. He pauses, he stops, shakes his ass, he shakes his foot, he does all his wiggles. And at the end of the day, then you look up and you've made an out, and you're like, how did that happen? How did I make an out with that guy? It's got to be frustrating for the hitters because it's frustrating for me watching from home. It's like, God, just throw the ball. What are you doing? And he's on my team, dude. And it's still frustrating to watch. But, yeah, it's very effective. He's a lot more effective this year than Lucas fucking Giolito. I know that much.
Yeah, I believe he's been their ace this year?
Pretty much. Well, no, Dylan Cease is the ace.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The fact that he didn't make the All-Star team is like
too.
He doesn't give up anything. And he didn't make any, but he's not an all-star. Just the biggest joke. I don't even want to talk about that.
But what we do, come on, All-Star games are like the Hall of Fame. I mean, top 10 lists or draft grades or trade grades.
Grade this trade, what? When I was a kid, I used to really love that part of the baseball All-Star game where you see a guy from a team that you don't usually see, a last place
right.
team, the Pirates or something like that. Like, oh, there's the All-Star from that team that isn't very good, but everybody gets to have an All-Star on their team. When I was a kid, I thought that was really cool. We don't fucking need that anymore. Maybe something happened to me or whatever. I got cynical. I don't need to see the Diamondbacks. I don't need to see Joe Mantiply. I don't need to see all these guys from these teams. I think what happened is the teams that I didn't realize when I was a kid, maybe I realized it, but not as, you know, not as severely as I do now, that these teams are terrible mostly because they're trying to be on purpose because they're not spending money because they just take the revenue sharing and keep it. And they're not actually putting it back into the team and trying to make the team any good. They're just all about making the money. So now I look at those teams like that, like, you know, Pirates and the Diamondbacks and the Royals. And like, I don't need to see the All-Stars from any of those teams because those teams are bad on purpose and they're taking spots away from guys like Dylan Cease, who actually deserve to be on the All-Star team because he's actually a fucking great pitcher and should be probably the All-Star or the Cy Young leader if he was on a team that was any good. I don't need to see the guy. And I hate the fact that I got to that point because I used to really love seeing, like I said, those teams that usually don't have any kind of spotlight on them at all. Hey, there's the All-Star from the Expos when they were terrible. Hey, there's their All-Star. I don't need that. I don't need that anymore. Just get rid of that because you're taking spots away from guys who actually deserve it. Some of them, most of them probably have contracts that reward them for being named to the All-Star team. Can you imagine looking at Dylan Cease's numbers and saying, you don't deserve a bonus because you didn't make the All-Star team? What the fuck are you talking about? Come on. So, yeah. We can riff about anything, can't
Man.
We? You said you're ready to shut it down, and here we are 15 minutes later and still
going. Well, all you had to say was baseball. You know.
And then don't get me started on my fantasy team, because that would be another 15 minutes of me cussing.
You hear about all the injuries.
And now it's where just the guys that are there and playing, they're just not consistent. I just can't. I'm so close. I'm only like 7 points out of the money with a month to go, more than a month. So it's there. It's within my grasp. I just don't see a path. I don't see how I'm going to be able to make up these points because all my offensive guys, they're not consistent. No one's. I don't have an Aaron Judge. I don't have a guy that's just destroying everybody. I don't have Kyle Schwarber's up to, what, 35 homers? I don't have one of those guys that's just killing everybody. But they're all, like, productive, so I can't really cut. You know, I'm not going to cut Marcus Semien. I'm not going to – you know, Austin Riley has been damn good. He wasn't an All-Star originally, but, he made it as an injury replacement. Anthony Rizzo had a great start to the year. He's been falling off lately, but I'm not going to cut him because, you know, as soon as I do, he'll go on a streak of hitting, you know, 5 or 6 homers. All my guys are just good enough. You know, Ian Happ, Andrés Giménez, they're all just barely good enough where I can't really cut them and pick up anybody off the waiver wire because they're not going to be any better. And the guys that I have cut and wound up, you know, getting hot as hell, like Jonathan India, I tried to talk him up before the season started. And I waited on him, and he started slow and never got it going. And I finally said, fuck it. I finally cut him. And as soon as I cut him, he just got hot as hell. It's like, oh, come on. So it's just been one of those years for me. It's nothing I can really do about that. It's just,
well, you know, and it's a long
wait
season.
Wait till next year.
So you got 6 full weeks almost left.
Yeah, but if I thought I could identify who's going to get hot in those 6 weeks and go pick him up, you know, off the wire, I can't make heads or tails of some of these guys that are Corey Dickerson of the Cardinals.
Yeah, 10 hits in a row.
Just had a streak where he went 10 for 10.
Yeah.
Like, if I pick him up, he's going 0 for his next 20. I guarantee.
Well, you don't you know, the baseball is a game of averages, right?
Right.
So
he's not gonna bat 1,000 for the next month. I understand that.
Right.
He did it for a 3-game stretch.
And if you didn't have him for that stretch, don't go chasing it.
Yeah, but I'm desperate, man.
That's why we would joke about fantasy football. And there's that, you know, I forget the guy, but he played for the Panthers, I want to say. He was like a third-string tight end. And he had 2 touchdowns on opening, you know, in the opening game.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the name either, but I know. I remember what you're talking about.
To pick him up.
Yep.
In every league, you know, you were in or I was in, everybody ran to go pick him up. I avoided him in every league because I think he finished the season with 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and that happens every year. Somebody gets hot the first week and everyone rushes to pick him up and then he doesn't do anything. That's part of the fun of fantasy football is some guys, you know, you look at them and you just know that opening week or week 2, that success, that's not going to last. You just laugh at whoever picks him up like, you idiot. You think he's going to actually keep doing that. And every now and then, like every 5 years or so, somebody does keep doing that. And it's like,
that's
wow,
true.
Okay. You never know. You know, whoever picked up Baby Terminator when he replaced Le'Veon Bell, oh, he's not going to keep that up. And 12 weeks later, he was still doing it. But like you said, then Le'Veon Bell officially was ruled out and –
just
that
when you needed him for your playoffs.
Oh. He stabbed you in the heart.
Oh, man, because he was trash for the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, that he was.
Pretty much once the Le'Veon Bell thing was over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, so. Okay, I think I mean it
I
this time.
I remember it. God, anything else? Neither one of us can riff on the student loan forgiveness by old President Biden.
We don't have any.
Because neither one of us took out any student loans. So don't know if there's any strong opinions about that. I just don't understand the hate behind it. Like I was telling my wife, if Trump did that, everybody, man of the people. Man,
no, they'd hate him.
No.
Just the other side would hate him.
I can't
That's
imagine
it.
Democrats
That's all it is.
Doesn't, that.
Doesn't matter who does it. The other side's going to hate it. That's what we have become. There's no political discourse anymore.
Most of the time,
there's no agree
right,
to disagree. It is. There is no degree. I listened to a book about the polarization of our media. It was a very good book, and it basically boiled it down to say that every discussion now is the other side is Hitler.
Right.
That's it. Because once you bring up Hitler, you can't argue about anything.
Oh, yeah, you're
So
Hitler.
All you have to do is, it's a race now whenever you're arguing with somebody, and then eventually someone's going to go, well, your guy's Hitler, or your side basically is Nazis, right? That's all it's going to be.
I think that's true on most topics. This one, I didn't understand the discourse. I still don't understand the discourse of people running and saying that this is just the worst thing, and how can you expect this? Who's going to pay for it?
Honestly, even the people who were getting the loan forgiveness were mad about this one.
I don't get it.
I saw those posts because they're like, you know what? That's great. You're taking $10,000 off. The interest will get it back in 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Well, all right.
So you're saying
that's
you don't
what,
want
apparently
those.
That's the punishing part of this. It's not the loans. It's the crippling interest on these loans.
Sure. But he did something about that, too. That's the crazy part. He's capping the interest as well. But that's getting lost in all the screaming about this is the worst thing to happen, and how can you expect farmers to pay? Farmers are not paying for this. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, the government has no money. You know that, right? The government owns nothing. The federal government, all their money is accumulated through taxes, me and you and everybody else. So anytime they spend money, either the Fed prints it out of thin air, which means you have inflation because now you've diluted the money supply, or we're paying for, so everybody's paying for this. It's not like the, yeah, there's an element to that, but there's so much other stupid shit that we, you know, your and my money and all people who work and pay taxes, what their money is going towards. People don't think in those terms. They think of it as it's the government's money. No, no, no. It's your money and my money and, you know, it's everybody's money.
No, it's not about the government to me. It's just like the with the gas prices.
Yeah.
The government isn't paying for that either. The companies have the ability to set whatever price they want depending on whatever they decide is fair or not. And it's usually it's not about fair. It's about the whatever margin they can make for themselves as large as they can.
Unfair.
Right. So this is not about the government with the interest rates for the student loans either. It's to me, it's squarely on the interest companies. They can set whatever rate they want. The reason it's 30% now and it was 3%, 30, 40 years ago is because they can do it. It's simply because they can. And whatever, Biden put a cap on that. And so it's not going to be nearly that much going forward. And I think that's awesome. But it's just the way that people ran to slam it and put it down and try to act like somebody else is paying for it and we're paying for it and who's going to pay for it. That's always makes me crazy because we're not paying for that at all. The companies set those rates and they can set it however they want. So all that money is all – that's not money that's coming out of our pockets. That's money that's the CEO of of Fannie Mae can't buy mansions on the coast of Ireland. Can only buy six. That's what that money's coming from. It's not coming out of our pocket. But people get irrationally upset with stuff like that. Anytime you take money that would have gone to further rich people, and usually rich white people, and you reduce that somehow, that's an affront to America. It's like, do you not realize what you're saying when you say that? Like, do you not see how everyone can tell where your allegiance is when you immediately start getting angry at something like that? It's just, I couldn't understand. And then the politicians that got mad at it, like one by one by one, what you were just talking about, that so many of them had PPP loans that got forgiven, and they're railing against this. How can you possibly, do you not understand that when you take a loan out, you have to pay for it? That's just the rules. And then immediately somebody, is this you right here with the PPP loan that got forgiven? So obviously you don't have to pay for your loan. Like the hypocrisy now, I think it's even worse than it ever has been. Like people just don't even care anymore. They just come right out and say things that immediately get debunked and proven wrong right in their face. And they don't care. Because they know, because they saw the last few years of politicians saying anything and everything, no matter how wrong it is, and people just saying, yeah, he's right about that. And then it's Trump and Biden and everybody else. No matter what they say, people just, we'll back it up
no matter what. I mean, we went through 4 years of Trump apologists, and I swear there's just as many Biden apologists as there are Trump apologists.
Probably.
It's just, well, it's a different team now. Oh, my team's winning, so it's okay when my team does it. Oh, man, that's become the new thing as I watch because, you know, it's like, oh, Trump could do this. He'd get away with anything. And it switches to Biden. It's like, well, wait, you know, well, you can't do that. That's whataboutism. Oh, huh? Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot out there.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean, though, that there's no discourse. And you can't have civil conversations about these things anymore. You're just literally watching the whole thing just fracture.
I wish we could. There's a lot to discuss and a lot to hash out. And we could just, decide to talk about it instead of trying to point out somebody's I see what you're doing. Gotcha. I see that you're trying to defend so-and-so. It's so obvious, that's my problem with it is when you make it so obvious what side you're on and you're not even trying to look at facts or issues, you're just deciding, this side is a side that argues against student loans getting reduced. Well, why are you against that? Because it's wrong, and because I had to pay my student loans back, so everyone else should have to too. What? That's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. And so it's not even about some sort of like feeling of unfairness or it's just clearly about politics. That's my point. Is, you know, we agree to disagree, but I really do think all these people that are saying that student loans getting reduced is some sort of terrible, bad, unfair thing, if Trump was the one to do it, would say the exact opposite. Yeah, what
correct.
A great guy. What a great move.
No, you are absolutely correct, and his opponents would have taken the exact opposite stance, because we have reached the point where you can't let anybody get a win. Nobody can have a win. Trump couldn't
maybe.
Be allowed to have any wins. Biden can't be allowed to have any wins. Only Biden's people think he has wins, and the Republicans don't. And when Trump was president, he didn't get wins. His side thought he got wins. The other side didn't. It didn't matter if it was really a win or not. That's what we've done now. It's just it's the polarization of everything now. This is the flaw in the two-party system.
It wasn't like this when we were younger, right? It was not anywhere near this bad.
It wasn't as – well, we didn't have social media.
It can't be all that.
It's most of it. How much of what we see is, you know, everybody dunking on each other on social media trying to score virtue points?
I'll say this. These politicians that, you know, put their foot in their mouths, I'm sure a lot of them wouldn't be doing that without social media. So, yeah, I guess that is
right.
A big part of it.
So no, I and that anybody can have a say in this, or anybody can call anybody out on anything, and you know, Twitter explodes. We didn't have this, you know. How many accounts do you see of people? And I know you see these where somebody says, well, doesn't matter whether you agree with the person or not, but they say something extremely inflammatory, but then have it set that nobody can reply except for the people who they like.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, then you can say whatever you want, because nobody's going to call you out on it. That's why you put that setting on, right?
Yeah, if you don't want to take any of the heat, you just say, oh, I'm going to say this thing, and then I'm going to make it where no one can reply back to me.
Correct.
Yeah, that's I don't you know, I say I can't imagine doing that, but nobody responds to me anyway. But if I was that, if I were into saying things that inflammatory, but then I couldn't take the heat of people responding back to me, yeah, I don't think that would be my first option to make that setting. I think my first option would be maybe I shouldn't say these inflammatory things then.
Yeah, and I see those accounts, and God, yeah. I can't tell you how many people I've just muted. Like, why are these people in my feed? Why do I keep seeing these same people that I don't ask to see populating
right.
my feed? And it started, and it's just like, mute.
Yeah, I'm with that. I mute a lot. I mute people who say things that are just patently wrong. And I'm just like, that's stupid and wrong, and I don't need to ever see that, period. And I don't care what your political affiliation is. If you say something stupid and wrong, I pretty much always mute you right there on the spot, because I don't need that. I don't need stupidity in my timeline. There's enough of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it that's entertaining stupidity, but just blatant, over the top, especially if it's ill-natured, I guess you would say, you know.
That's the stuff I
don't like.
Yeah, just mean and wrong for no reason. Just trying to especially like demonizing or villainizing a certain section of people that for no reason, then because my political allies demonize them, so I think I need to too. It's like, why though? What are you doing? So stuff like that, and saying wrong things about those groups of people, I'm really sensitive to stuff like that. So yeah, just mute. I don't need it.
Well, I'm tell you what, I'm muting myself. I'm done. Tapping out.
Now you're finally done.
Yeah, half an hour.
Now I'm done.
I'm BQD.
All right. Yeah, I guess I'm done too. I don't know if there's anything else we could really cover. I do want to ask what we do have to make a decision at some point as to what we're doing for our preview. Are we going 2 hours full flame, or are we trying to split it up?
Well, I know for sure that let me look at my if I can find my calendar here. I know for sure we're going to do a show at least that Tuesday night on the 6th. I'm trying to decide if I want to do we want to do like 90 minutes back-to-back nights, or do we want to try to cram it into 2 hours? I just got that bad feeling like if we try to cram it all into 2 hours, we're going to end up doing one conference in 30 minutes.
Okay. The Sunday before Labor Day and Labor Day itself, are those off limits for you?
Sunday before Labor Day. Okay. Are you talking the 4th and the 5th?
Yeah. I know Wednesday the 7th is off limits because I'm back in my bowling league. So
oh, okay.
The options then being like those 3 or 4 days, even Saturday the 3rd. I'm just thinking I'm trying to expand beyond the Tuesday and Wednesday because Wednesday is out. So if we don't do Labor Day at all, then that leaves the 6th by itself. But if we do split it up, I'm just saying it doesn't have to be 2 days in a row. It could be Sunday and Tuesday or Saturday.
Yeah, I would say if I was looking at it that way, Sunday and Tuesday would work the best for me if we're splitting them up, just because Monday is a really long day for me for work.
Oh, okay.
That's an all day, and that'll be the end of a very long, of a longer than normal work week for me. Because my days off are weird that week because it's Labor Day weekend, so I'm working that Sunday, and then I'm home on the Tuesday and Wednesday. So that's why Tuesday and Wednesday were perfect, because I'm home those days. So Sunday and Tuesday would work the best, unless you just want to try to do like a mega show on Tuesday.
Yeah, those are two options. I'm too tired to decide it right now, but I did want to at least ask if you had a preference.
Looking at it that way, I'd probably lean towards just trying to do one big show and being smart about our time for a change.
Us being smart about our time?
For a change.
You couldn't even say that with a straight face. Come on.
No, I know. I said it, and I was like, oh, God, it's, no, that's not happening. No. Yeah. Maybe just be a little bit more economical on some of our views.
All right,
but
we'll try that.
We get into arguments. We get into strange arguments about things during football preview. Well, I remember one year we talked for half an hour about the Dolphins when we picked them to be in last place.
I mean, it was compelling. If we want to really rip off PTI, we can. I can set my phone timer. We can really.
Bell?
15 minutes on each whatever or 10 minutes what and the hard stop right there. So
yeah, and the tricky part too is to not spend 20 minutes talking before we even get to it.
Right. I'm usually guilty of that.
That's both of us because we're always catching up on something else.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm trying to get the perfect lead up and get it just right, and I wind up rambling on. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine trying to do a mega show on the 6th and just getting it all knocked out.
Okay.
I'm off that day, too. So for me, that works because I can actually get all my thoughts together and not be in the middle of the work week trying to do it.
All right, sounds good. I'm off on Labor Day, so I'll use that time to get my thoughts together.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds like a plan.
Okay, and I'm sure it'll change. We'll change it or something. But as of right now, I'd be good for the 6th, which would be that's only 2 weeks.
Yes, very short time, less than 2 weeks.
You got the new theme music all picked out.
I do not have a new theme music. I did record our new intro already, so that's ready to go.
All right.
I do have new music for the 2-minute warning to do the plugs. So that's if anyone's excited about that, I did make a new.
There's a tease. That's called a tease.
Yeah. Really excited about the 2-minute warning music that I have. I was using Renard's words. That sounds like a plan. That's the last thing I heard from him. So, I don't know what happened. They disappeared into the ether after that, so, unfortunately. So too bad we couldn't catch up with Renard and Cass tonight. Hopefully we'll be able to chop it up with them sometime in the future. But for those of you who did tune in, for us, you got 2 hours of talk. I don't know how much of it you were looking forward to, but you got it. We gave you close to 2 hours anyway. So, but that's what we're looking at for our next show is the 10th anniversary, the start of our 10th season of this podcast, if you can believe it, coming up on Tuesday, August the 6th, the big mega prediction show, preview show, NFC and AFC. And we might set up our phones and have some timers going and try to keep ourselves, because this is 10 years now we've been saying we're going to do better at time, we're going to keep ourselves on track, and we never wind up keeping on track. So. But maybe that's part of our charm. I don't know.
We'll pick that first Thursday night game in the last 90 seconds of the show.
Guaranteed, no matter what. All right, now we're definitely done. All right, he is Jay. I am Dre. This has been, in much less detail, the podcast, the Kings of Non Sequitur, our last Kings of Non Sequitur of the off season as we get ready for actual football to start. One more week of preseason football, where hopefully people don't hurt themselves. It always happens, though. Someone major gets hurt in one of these last preseason games. That's why I don't even do my fantasy drafts before the last preseason, or the third preseason game of the season. My fantasy draft, that league that you were talking about that I'm in, that still doesn't draft until next Saturday night, I believe. So because I you got to wait. These guys, somebody major, just watch. Somebody major is getting hurt this weekend. I'm not wishing it on anybody, but it's going to happen because it always happens every year. All right, we are out of here, and we will be back Tuesday, August the 6th, and we will be ready to pick, even though I have no confidence in my picks this year, for the NFL season, and we will talk to you then.